This episode is brought to you by Tropical Glitz. All right, so you got your car primered, you got your silver laid, but now you need some flakes. For the finest flakes, make sure you check out Platinum Plus 0.004. Highly recommended. I use it on my models. I got friends that use it on their models as well. And order yourself a bottle, tropicalglitz.net. It's also your one-stop shop for custom paint. And they ship not just in the U.S., but around the world. So make sure you check out tropicalglitz.net. All right, it's time to chill, pull over, bust out that phone, and make sure you visit dedicatedmagazine.com. Why? Because the pre-orders are now live, and they're live till September 30th, all right? The clock is ticking. We are running out of time. Every day is getting closer and closer and closer to the deadline. Next thing you know, the magazine's out. So make sure you pre-order that. Why? Because you're not only getting the special edition volume 3, but you're also getting a poster, a sticker, scale plates, and mini magazines. And also a chance to win a golden ticket. All right? Imagine that. You win the golden ticket, you let them know, and you get the prize. How dope is that? So make sure you check out dedicatedmagazine.com. All right. And if you don't know, now you know. With another episode of Scale Riders Podcast. This is number 90, episode 90, with my guest, Edgar, also known as Inglewood Scale Models, all the way from Inglewood, California. Let's go ahead and hit up Edgar and see what he's up to.
Hello?
Hey, what's up, Inglewood?
Hey, what's up, Edgar?
How you doing?
Good, good. Right here, just chilling.
That's nice. Dude, I just realized something. We got a couple things in common. We got the same name, and we're into model cars.
That's right.
That's cool, dude. No, thank you, man, for being on the episode. I'm excited. This is episode number 90. I also wanted to congratulate you on your awards that you got over at the Cadillac Fest, the takeover event.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, and, man. You got the best display. You also got an award for your Cadillac and your Impala.
Yes, I got second place on the Impala and I believe third on the Cadillac.
Oh, that's dope. How was the event? I wasn't there. I couldn't make it, unfortunately.
It was pretty good. Motor car wise, it wasn't as good as the other 2 years, but for the real cars, it was pretty big.
Yeah. Damn, that's cool. Did you get there like pretty early?
Yes, I did. I was there around 8:30.
Nice. That's usually like the cool time. Like, you know, setting up, you see everybody bringing out their model cars.
Yeah, they almost didn't let me go in, but Spanx got me in.
Yeah. Oh, right on. Was it kind of hard because of the registration, like to get in, to sign up for the contest?
No, it was just because it was already close to the opening time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They didn't want people to be inside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to have it all set. Yeah, I was like that day I was with my family and then I was like trying to see like photos and stuff to come up. And then little by little, I started to see people post photos of the models and then the real cars. So I was like, damn, that looks dope. And I didn't, you know, I'm always curious, like, oh, I wonder who's there. And then, you know, little by little, everyone starts posting up their stuff that I follow. So I'm like, oh, that's dope. You know, it looked like it was a fun event.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. I just didn't get to take pictures because I was just standing watching my stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of people.
Yeah, like I can imagine because I saw the way it was displayed, you know, and yeah, like most people are going to walk around and like take a look, take lots of pictures of the cars. There was quite a lot of like displays that were on the tables too.
Yeah, there were a lot of cars.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Normally, when you go to shows, like, how do you decide like what cars you're gonna take? Because you have a lot of dope model cars, dude. Like, how do you decide that? Like, which ones am I taking?
Sure. Well, it kind of depends on the show because some of them are just low riders, and then like NNL. When I went to NNL, well, West, I mean, NNL has all kinds of cars, so I just took a little bit of everything, but I almost took my whole collection out there. And well, Cadillac Fest is normally all low riders. But this time, since I was gonna have my whole display, I decided to bring my trucks and the two muscle cars I have.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, the NNL West, was that the first time going to that one for you, or had you gone before?
It was my first time.
Oh, that's cool. Are you planning on going back this coming up year or next year?
Yes, I do plan
Yeah.
on going back. I mean, it's a long drive for me, but you just get to talk to people that are from out there from that side, and I think that's pretty cool. I got a chance to meet Jeff from JP Custom Wheels. We talk a lot on the phone, and it was nice to finally meet him in person.
Yeah, that's tight. Yeah, because I've noticed, you've been a big supporter of his from a long time ago. I remember like seeing on Instagram a lot of like wheels that he was coming out with, and then you had them, and I was like, oh, that's tight, and that's pretty cool. It's always dope when someone lives like far away, and then you go out of your town to go meet up somewhere far, and then they're flying out from somewhere far, and you finally get to meet up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, since when I started, because this is how I started. I was just at work one day on Instagram, and then I just seen on my Explorer there was a trailer with like five Impalas on it, model cars. And so I looked at it, and I was like, damn, man, I remember when I used to build model cars. So then I send it to my friend, and I say, hey, we should start building again. And I kind of ignored it for a little bit, and then that same picture popped up again, and I said, man, maybe I need to go and buy one or something.
Yeah, what year was that when that came around?
That was in 2016.
Oh,
It
nice.
was around November.
All right. That's
'Cause,
cool.
at that time, there was still a hobby store open near my house. It was called Hobby People. And I went out there to check them out. They didn't have the big selection they have of model cars. They didn't have it anymore. So it was only a few. And the only thing I did get was some Pegasus rims they had there. And the guy recommended me, gave me a flyer of the Model Kit Expo, and he told me, yeah, you should go. It's on the 13th. And so I went out there. It was actually on my birthday. I went
Nice.
out there and I brought home like $300 worth of kits.
Hell yeah, make it worth it. It's your birthday.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
That's tight.
So then that's when it all started. So then I started following more people that were building model cars, and I wanted to make an Instagram page, but I kind of wanted to get ready first. So that's when I built my little ghetto house diorama.
How'd you come up with the name Inglewood Scale Models? 'Cause you live there in the city, but
Yes.
was it tough like coming up with that name, or you were just like, this is the name I'm gonna roll with, like right away?
It was pretty tough because it was too long. So I actually started with ING. That's how you initial like the initials were Inglewood, ING. I had to put in ING scale models, but I felt like people were not going to know what I was talking about.
Yeah.
So then I just decided to change it to Inglewood scale models, the whole full thing.
Mm-hmm. It's catchy. Like, right away, once you hear someone say that the first time, it's like it's already recorded. I feel like, and then it just, you know, the more you keep putting out, it's like, it just more and more people recognize you right there. Yeah. And that diorama, the ghetto house, how long did it take you to make that?
So I started, let me see, because on the 13th, I bought all the kits. And then maybe like 3 days later, I started planning like what I wanted to build. And I just said, oh, screw it. Let's do a house. And I started on it somewhere maybe like the 18th or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I completed it on Thanksgiving weekend since it only had 5 days off of work. And, so we did the whole Thanksgiving thing and just in the mornings and sometimes in the afternoons or at night, I just worked on it until I finished it.
Yeah, it's interesting because like you were doing the, you know, like the house and a lot of other stuff back then. And it was like, from what I could remember, because remember when there was the Cadillac Fest when they did the Whittier Boulevard? Yes. And everybody had their stores and the buildings. And that was my, like, I would say like my first show, initial show, like going in into it. Because I remember like not really knowing anybody that was there. And, it's like, I remember seeing all that and, you know, you start following more people after a show and then little by little, I started to see your stuff online. And then, I mean, if you think from back then to now, like I've seen your buildings evolve, like the houses are very modern. It's just, they look very realistic. All these houses that you've done. They look, dude, they're so dope.
Thanks. Well, you see, the ghetto house, I kind of wanted something to fit in, like, with Inglewood. I didn't want it to be too modern.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of, that's why I made it kind of ghetto. The only reason why I trashed that house was because it was falling apart. When I started, you know, I've never looked into dioramas or anything like that. So I just went to the 99 cents and I got the cheap foam board and cheap water-based paint. You know, I didn't spend a whole lot of money on it. So, but with the time, you know, with the heat and cold, it just didn't look too good on the pictures no more.
Yeah, it got like weathered and stuff.
It got weathered.
Yeah. Dang.
So,
yeah, it was cool because even like when it was when you brought out it was like a building, it looked pretty dope. You brought it out to the Lowballer show, and it had a parking lot, and they had all the cars out. And I remember sometimes you would display like wheels and the cars, and they even had like glass in the thing. And I remember there was so many cars, dude. And I thought there was like other people's cars, but then it was like I started to notice, like, no, these are all his. Like that was that's tight.
Yeah, that was my actual first building that I made.
Mm-hmm.
Before that one, I made one for Dwayne from Lowballers. I made him a pretty big shop, and then from there, that's when I made my own, and that's like. Came up with the Ingle wheels. Mm-hmm. There's like a rim shop, and it has like a space for two cars, so you could display two cars inside. And then I made my own wheel racks with actual metal rod and welded it together. You know, I just try to make it look like a wheel shop.
Mm-hmm. Damn, that's cool. And like back then, before like 2016. When you were building back then, how, like, you were just like a kid or a teenager when you were building models?
Yes, like when I was like around 9, 10 years old, my brothers were older than me. They were in middle school, high school, and they sometimes used to bring metal, like the metal ones with the U-bars, you know, hoppers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So then I kind of wanted to build one, but, you know, I was just a kid, so I used to just go to, was it CVS? It was Savons before, back in the days before it turned into CVS.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to have a whole aisle full of model cars. And the one that I only knew about was the 64 Impala, the lowrider.
Yeah. Was it the Revell one?
The Revell one.
Yeah. That's tight. Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, there's a whole selection of cars, and I never, you know, I was just a kid. I never even thought about, oh, maybe what if I choose this car and just put lowrider rims?
Mm-hmm.
So all the every time we went and bought a kit, it was a 64 Impala.
Yeah, that's cool. That's all. I remember always buying that one too, like the Revell one, because it had the Impala in pink on the cover. It was kind of like a sketch or something of it. And I remember like at school telling some dude, like, because he painted like military helicopters and stuff. And I was like, hey, would you paint my model? Because he said he knew how to airbrush. So I was like instantly like, oh, this thing's going to be dope because he knows how to airbrush. I don't even know how to airbrush. And I remember buying one at Walmart and just giving it to him. And I think it was like almost 6 months passed and then he gave it to me. And I completely, for a moment, I kind of forgot about it. But then he was just kind of in a rush, like, here, dude, here. And I was like, how much do I owe you? He's like, no, take it. And then he took off, and I was like, oh, man, he painted it red. That's cool. And I still have the body of that car. I just never, like, it. I mean, I finished it back then, but then I took it apart. I figured, oh, I'm going to, like fix it or repaint it or something. Because it did kind of get a little damaged back then. But that was always a nice car, the 64. That's always going to be a kit that you're always going to get memories, you know?
Yeah.
Even in the future, dude, like, you're going to look back, like, be like, man, I remember picking this one up and doing all that stuff to it. That's pretty cool. And then after, when you were building models back then, did you just, like, stop building? Like, you just got busy?
Well, since I was a kid, you know, I didn't have money, and my parents were people, you know, that they didn't want to spend money on toys. You know, they prefer buying us clothes and stuff like that. So it was just whenever we had money, allowance money, birthday money, or I started working with my dad since I was 9. So whenever I had extra money, I'll buy a kit and just rattle can it. I wouldn't even build the engine or put anything on it.
Mm-hmm. That's tight. You know? Do you still work for your dad? Like now or no?
No.
Yeah, back then. Right on. Yeah, I worked for my dad. I mean, I've pretty much since like high school been working with them. And I mean, I don't know. It's always like, it's always cool. Like when you get to have that opportunity, you know, to like have the months and the days and the years go by, like working alongside your dad. It's always, you always learn something.
Yeah, I learned a lot from my dad. His business went down because he found out he had cancer, so he had to go to a doctor's visit.
Yeah.
And I kind of regret not taking a step up and saying, hey, you know, I'll take care of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, at that time I was young, so I just wanted to make money. And I said, well, you know, I got to go out my way and
and
find out how to make money on my own.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, I feel you. It's like I've always felt that kind of like that pressure too, like from people in the past, like, hey, so are you going to take over? Are you going to take over? And I mean, when I was younger, I was like, oh, hell yeah, like I'll do it, you know? But then as I got older, I was like, well, because we own a flower shop. Uh-huh. And I was like, well, it's not a bad business. Like we get busy and stuff, but I don't know if this is what I want to do when I grow up, you know? Like, I started to think that way. Like, I don't know if I was meant to do this. Like, I like it, but then there's other things. But I don't know. Like, right now, I'm just kind of in the, like, I'm, like, in the middle, you know? It's, like, I want to, but then, like, I don't want to. Like, I want to pursue something else. So, I don't know. But, yeah, that must have been really hard, though, man. Like, when you were young and going through that. Yeah, I'm sorry to hear about that.
Yeah, thank you. No problem. Yeah, it was hard, but, I mean, that was 2006, 2007, and mm-hmm. He's there. He's still there. I mean, he's a strong guy.
That's good.
He still does what he likes. He likes to drink. He still drinks. He smokes. He says, fuck it. If I die, you know, I'll die living the way I like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, no, yeah.
And, you know, God still has them right here. And I just have to help them out. You know, that's why I looked at it like, if I would have stayed with his business, you know, you don't have insurance. Mm-hmm. You know, business could go down quick.
Yeah.
But you're it's not stable. So that's why I kind of decided to get a job like this. You know, I know that I have an income coming every week and I can help them out.
Yeah, that's always like, that's another thing, dude, the insurance part. It's like, I think about that all the time too, you know? And it's like, when you work for someone else, like a company or something, a lot of the times it's like there. Like there's all these benefits or things, you know? When you get another job. But yeah, I don't know. It's so it's something we kinda relate on, you know, on that too. But now that I think it's pretty dope though that you at least, you know, do your part to help them out with some, because I think that's what kids should do, you know, like parents should know, like, hey, I could count on my son as much as, like, you know, we could count on our parents.
Yeah. Well, that's the way my dad, well, you see, when we were growing up, my dad was hard on my two older brothers because they were already bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he always used to say, hey, you guys need to help your mother out, you know, at least with $20 or something. You guys have to be humble. And he never told me anything, but I just kind of picked up on it.
Yeah.
So when I used to work with him, even if I gave my mom $10, I mean, I just felt good.
Mm-hmm.
And once I got my job, you know, I used to just every week give him money for food and stuff like that, help him out some way or another.
Yeah.
And it feels good, you know, knowing that you're helping out.
No, it does. Definitely. It definitely does. And, I mean, with work and, you know, how do you find time to work on your model cars? Like, do you do it at night or do you do it on your days off?
It's mostly nights, late afternoons. And mm-hmm. I get home from work, eat, shower, and then the 3-4 hours I got, you know, I'm just running in, you know, in and out. Well, before, I haven't built for like a year almost.
Yeah.
But before, I was in and out, because I used to have my paint booth in the back, and then I used to build inside my house, so I was in and out, running in and out, you know, trying to get stuff done, and that's, you know, that's the way.
Yeah. What do you do when you get into that, like, burnout phase, or that moment when you're like, you know what, I need to, like, step away, and then come back?
Well, from my experience, when I started in 2016, when I got into it, I went a whole year just stuck into models. And I kind of got burned out, like, I think it was like around December. And I said, you know, I got to stop for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because I let everything down. I have fishes, and, you know, normally I will clean my fish tank every year. And it was already like past the year. Mm. And then my cars. I was just do oil change. I was sitting. I had a bunch of work on them.
Yeah.
I kind of had to take a little time off and focus on the other things I had going on.
No, yeah. Because it's very consuming doing the models. It's a lot of hours. You want it to look a certain way. And if it doesn't, you keep trying and trying until you finally get it to, like, how you like it. And And then if you have like a girlfriend or a wife, you know, or something, you know, you gotta, or a family, you gotta spend time, you know, with them as well. And it's like, I was kind of the same in the beginning, like just going like heavy, like hard, like, all right, every day, every day, every day. And then I got to a point where, you know, you start to slack off on certain things, you know. It's like back at my parents' house, like I have like two dogs. I wasn't even walking them that much, you know, the time to just take 10, 15 minutes to walk them. I was just, you know, like sitting down working on something, and then I would forget about it. And then when I was like, oh, I didn't walk them, it was already like late at night, and I didn't want to walk them anymore. Like right now that you're not building, are you kind of taking like a little break as well?
Yeah. Well, the only reason why I'm not building is because I started on my hobby room.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I was building here. Like I live in the back house, and it's just like a single. I have my living room and then the room and then the kitchen. So I just had a mess throughout the whole house. You know, I had boxes of model kits everywhere. You know, I'll build on my kitchen table, and then I had stuff on the countertop, and I got kind of tired of it. Just having a mess in my house, and so I said, "Well, I gotta build something."
Yeah, is that the? I know you posted like a photo of like a workspace. That had like shelves and everything. It looked dope, dude. Like the table and like everything all set up. And that even like my friend Luis up north was like, dude, that thing's bad. I want like a room like that where I could work on my cars.
Yeah, that's I just finished building it maybe like two months ago.
Nice.
And you know, I have a little backyard behind my house. It's like 4 foot and a couple inches, and you know, I made it work.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little tight, but
yeah, I mean, and you have your do you paint in there or do you paint outside?
No, I'm actually built on the other side of the hobby room. I'm building a paint booth.
Oh, dope.
So that's what I'm working on right now, but I just been working 12 hours. I've been working 12 hours for like the past 3 months, 4 months. So I just get home and I don't do nothing.
Yeah, dude. I mean, that's a lot of hours, you know, and you get home and you want to just rest.
And just
chill. It's like you got to be ready for the next day, but you know what? It's gonna be worth it because at least you have your workspace. You're gonna be completing the booth, and you know, depending in the future how it is with your schedule, I'm sure you'll have like some time to put in some work, and then it's just gonna work out where you're gonna appreciate like, oh, I'm glad I did this already. The hard part is setting everything all up. Now it's time for the easy stuff, the fun part, the model building.
Yeah, well, you know, that extra income is helping me out because all this building supply is not cheap either.
Yeah, for real. All the shelves and everything.
Yeah, I spent like about, you could say, close to $2,000 on just the hobby room.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'll probably be spending like $1,500 in the paint booth because I got to put exhaust fans and... Yeah, I gotta design something where it pulls out all the fumes and then separates all the dust, the paint dust. Cause that's the whole reason why I'm building my paint booth. Because you know when you paint something that has flakes or metallic, and then it's kind of hard to try to paint something like say a solid color, like just a solid red or a black or a white. When you try to paint those type of colors and you're spraying, sometimes you get those metallic things just flying all over and then it lands on the car.
Yeah, yeah, it's all the little particles just going everywhere. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Dang.
So that was the main reason that I wanted to make an enclosed paint booth. And the other reason was because I want to paint all year long without having to worry, oh, it's too cold, too hot, you know?
That's true. Yeah, that's dope. Yeah, because I know what you mean. Like, out here, the weather changes. Like, You could be like, oh, dope. Hopefully it's sunny. And then it could be windy. Or it's just like hot. Like it just keeps. Sometimes it could be unpredictable.
Yeah. Well, look, even right now in the summer, I'm like 10 minutes away from the beach. I'm right here by the LAX airport. So mm-hmm. even in the summer, it gets kind of chilly.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff like that.
All that so breeze and everything yeah, coming over.
Yeah.
No, so heck yeah.
It's you know, and then I don't get to spend time in the early in the morning or in the afternoon to paint. So I'm here like late in the afternoon at night, and it kind of sucks because you know, you gotta be like, oh, it's too cold and stuff like that.
No, yeah, that's so true. When you started to do that room, like designing it, do you have a background in that, like to like build and do all that stuff? Or did you just kind of was like I'm just gonna do it, you know?
Well, my dad's job it was a construction business, so I kind of learned. I just seen whatever he did, I just used to see it. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, at my job, I'm a maintenance mechanic, so sometimes I gotta build wood stuff or metal stuff, whatever it is. So it's really not that hard for me to figure shit out.
Yeah. Do you think? With like the modeling skills you've learned, it also kind of helps like put things in perspective and together.
Yeah. Well, that's the way I was able to build diorama, because all I did was just scaled everything. I just downscaled everything, and it's basically the same thing. If you know how to build real stuff, you can build model stuff.
Yeah, that's right. That yeah. That last house that you did, the one that you donated to the Lowballers meet. That David Champion won.
Uh-huh.
Dude, that thing's so tight. It's like two levels. Man, I was like tripping out on that. I was like, man, he's gonna give that away? That thing's so dope.
Yeah. Well, I was supposed to just build a little simple garage with the lawn and stuff like that. But then I thought about it, I was like, well, I'm not building anything right now. You know, and it was kinda raining at that time, so I said maybe I'll just hook it up a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give away something nice, and then try to improve my skills from that.
Yeah, I feel like you went all out right there. I was like, man, that's a nice piece. You could tell he was like so happy to get that.
Yeah, it was a mission to do all the angles and stuff. You know how the roof is at an angle, and then yeah. You have another piece on top.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, but I got it done, and you know, maybe not the best, but you know,
that looks cool, dude. I think you did a great job on that. What one thing that I like that you do as well is that you're very good at branding yourself in your work. Like I know you've done like t-shirts. Also, and I always think like, man, that's pretty dope. Like when someone puts like their cars or just like their name, you know, on a shirt.
Yeah.
Cause it's like, you know, you're bringing attention to the model cars, you know, yeah. Like you're bringing more awareness to the, even for people that don't build model cars, you know, but they remember them from back then, or just car enthusiasts. They see your page and they trip out like, man. Like these are model cars.
Yeah. Well, the whole purpose of the shirts is because like when you go to shows, you don't know the people, you know the cars. Mm-hmm. You know, oh yeah, I seen this car on Instagram. Maybe it belongs to this. And then you know, it has happened to me a lot. I go to shows and then people are like, oh, you're Inglewood, but I don't know who they are. You know, because I've never seen the face. And but that's why I started. Putting Inglewood on my shirts and stuff so people can know who I am and come up and say, oh, hey, I'm Whoopty Whoop. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's tight.
Like the first time I went to Cadillac Fest in 2017, the only people I knew was Armando, because I went to the Bomb Show, Chevy Man, Frank, and that was it. That was basically it. There's a lot of people there.
Yeah, that's funny because yeah, I had met Armando maybe like 2 weeks before that event. Like I didn't know him in person. I mean, I knew of him, but not like in person. And then we met up, and then he told me about that event. That's how I found out. If I wouldn't have met, I would have not even known about it, like at all. But yeah, it was kind of the same. It was like him, and then I met Juan Chevy Man, at the same time. And then I knew Willie. Like, I met Willie, like, the following week or, like, the week before Cadillac Fest. And, I mean, everybody else, I knew their cars just from the Instagram. I remember, like, seeing, like, Spank's cars were there. But I didn't know how he looked like. And then I saw a person moving those cars. So I figured, oh, that must be him. Because he's touching those cars and like he's fixing them, kind of, you know?
Yeah.
So I remember just saying what's up to him and chopping it up with them for a little bit. So, but at the same time, I just didn't know like who was who, you know, like there. And that's so true. Like what you're saying, you know, it's like one of those things. You're at the show and you see the cars, but sometimes the person's not right there standing by them.
Yeah. And you see like Spanks, I had messaged them and I come, oh, I'll see you at the show, but I never got the chance to even meet him. And now that I know him, it's like, man, I seen him the whole time I was there, but I just didn't know that was him.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You kept running into him everybody right there at the spot.
Yeah.
That's funny. That's crazy. Yeah. It's cool. Like once you start knowing, like everybody that's like in the area, you know, and then you start going to the shows and then you start going farther. Like the NNL one was cool because there was like a lot of people who drove up north, and then you get to hang out with everybody else that's from up north and then people that just like flew in. I hope that I do want to go this year. I just hope that more people go that have not gone, because it'll be kind of dope to get everybody there to like check out their work and just kind of just chop it up and chill.
Yeah. I didn't know a lot of people from over here. I think the only person that I seen over there was Pancho. I think Pancho was there.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it was Chevy Man that was there. Armando. And then who else?
Hank was also out there this last one.
You see, I don't even know Hank.
Yeah.
I know who he is, but I don't know the person.
No, yeah. Yeah, and that's another thing, too. It's like little by little, you know, people start to introduce, like, oh, yeah, this is Inglewood, you know, and this is Boncho Hank. Like, everyone, and then it's like, oh, what the heck? Because I know everybody, like, pretty much follows each other on the Instagram. It's just a matter of time till everyone, like, meets up with each other. Because there's also, I was looking, I think it was last year. Let me see here. Because you were featured on it was the 2018 Glass House Magazine. And your car is featured in here. And then there's also another car by Alex Ramirez.
And I'm not sure who he is.
And he, on Instagram, he goes by El Handis. And he was at the NNL West as well. He was out there. But yeah, you both of you guys are on this magazine, that has your glass house.
And that's
it's pretty cool. Cause I remember, ordering the magazine, and I just thought it was pretty tight that there was the feature of your model cars like in here. Cause this is before, like the dedicated magazine came out. So there wasn't really like too much stuff coming out with model cars yet. So it was dope that, you know, you got that feature on there. Because there's a lot of dope glass houses, like the real cars that are in here as well.
Yeah,
this is a nice issue right here. The first one. I've noticed, too, your paint jobs, dude. Like, you're hitting them off the, like, out of the park. Like, your how do you plan out your patterns and all that when you paint?
Yeah, I don't know. I just start taping stuff, and, mm-hmm. and depending on the car, because some patterns don't go with the car. You know, it's I don't know how to explain it, but it's just like, I just start throwing tape on it, and then if I like it, I like it. If not, I take it off, and then I figure something out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because
it's real hard. It's like if you try to explain to someone how to tape or how to make designs, it's real hard because you gotta like plan it in your brain and then kind of somehow picture it on the car, and then that's how I come up with stuff.
Yeah, you're just kind of like just laying the tape, playing with it to see what you like, and then just running with it.
Yeah. I mean, the last couple of times I did patterns, it's like you go on Google and, you know, oh, Cadillac with patterns, and then you start going through all these cars, and oh, maybe this would look nice. Oh, maybe that would look nice. You know, just steal a design from every car until you get something.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because I like the little shop you did. It's called Backyard Custom Paint. And and then you display your cars in there. You even put like a tiny little roll of tape, so it looks like if it was being taped off. That looks tight, right there. A lot of your photos look very realistic. Like the cars look very realistic.
Yeah, that's what I try to do. I mean, to me, the pictures is the main thing. You know, I try to make the pictures look as good as they can. That's why I'm always changing phones. To just for the pictures, you know, I don't even care about the phone.
Yeah, that's true. Cause you know, it's like every so often, like a new phone drops, and I always have friends like complaining, like, "Man, there's already a new phone. Like these things are expensive, and this and that." And it's kind of the same. All I'm thinking about is like, I don't care about the phone, but I'm wondering how good is the camera, the lens, or how's it gonna look, you know? And I mean, obviously, they keep getting better and better.
Yeah, well, you know, I had the 7 for a while, and that one, the pictures were real good. And I just got the iPhone, I don't know, the 10XS or something like that, whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like the way the 7 looked. You know, it looks more natural. This one has more like a yellowy,
like a glare kind of.
Yeah.
Oh, dang.
I mean, the quality of the picture, like you can see more detail, but mm-hmm. just not. I just don't like the color.
Yeah. Man, I wonder if there's a way to take that off, or if there's other people kind of getting the same thing like you. Mm-hmm. Like if that's how the phone is. Yeah, because I still have. Pretty sure it's the 7, dude, or the 8. I don't know, one of those. I still have this one going. I've had this one for a while, and I like it so far. But I know that eventually later I'm gonna end up having to like upgrade on that one there for sure, as well. And you do a little bit of everything: the trucks, the SUVs. You even have a Inglewood tow truck.
Yeah, well, I had a tow truck, but I sold it. Because I wanted to get more, it was a die-cast truck, so I wanted something more plastic instead of metal.
Yeah.
So I do have like 2 tow trucks that I'm supposed to, paint them up and put big rims, dually rims that I bought from Jeff. It's just that I just haven't had time to get there yet.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, to do them up. But nah, they look dope, dude, because you do, like, the Escalades. It's just different types of truck. Like, you know, it gives it that more realistic feel. Cars that you will see at a car show or on the street.
And, yeah, like one of the questions that I was asked when I was doing the interview for Dedicated Magazine was, you know, how do I build my cars? And basically, like, every car I build it a way that I would build a actual car if I had the money to build them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I come up with the cars. You know, since I was a kid, I always liked cars. I've always had my Hot Wheels and used to change the wheels, paint them a different color, you know, and I like every type of style, you know, like hot rods, trucks and everything. So that's why I build different stuff and not just stick to one thing.
Yeah, because it looks like your selection, you know, it's not just strictly Impalas or strictly Cadillacs. Like, you switch it up. You do a lot of different types of vehicles, and they all look good together.
Yeah, well, I mean, as a car, you know, like as a person that likes cars, it's not just about, oh, I just like this certain car. It's about like all the cars. You know, I like must. I'm a Chevy guy. You know, I've always owned, since my first car has always been Chevy, but I do like Mustangs. You know, Dodge, you know, they're bad cars. If they were to give it to me, I'll take it.
Right?
Yeah. You know, so that's why I like to build them.
Yeah.
I'll never have this car.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if they gave me a 64 convertible Mustang, I'll take it. Pick it up.
And I think that's the fun part too about building these models is that, I mean, some of these, I mean, like we're not going to have all these cars in our life, like in our garage, you know, you never know unless one of us hits the lottery, but it's kind of cool to like have a car that it's like a fantasy. Like, man, if I had this car, this is the way I would build it. Or this is the way I would have all this set up like this. And I mean, there's cars that I've built, like model cars, or that I have even just the kit, that I'm like, damn, I never even seen this car in my life, you know? And I guess it's time to build the model car, and I could just put it in my closet or in a shelf.
Yeah.
So it's always like a fun thing. How's that Riviera, the one that you painted with all those patterns?
That one, I painted it for Iceman because he wanted me to paint something up for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that one, it was just like, if you ask Iceman, like, hey, how was the process? It's like, I told Iceman when I was sending the pictures of step by step, I was like, hey, I don't know what the fuck I'm painting, but
yeah,
I'm pretty sure it's gonna look good at the end.
Yeah, no, that thing looks bad, dude. It's just like going back to how you had the backyard, the custom paint shop set up. It was cool seeing like pictures of that car, like in there, and just seeing the colors and everything like come together. I was like, dang, that thing looks badass right there.
Thanks. Yeah, I don't, on Instagram, I don't post most of my my work, like the process work. I normally do just completed builds or when I have it inside the paint shop. But most of my work is on Facebook. I have, you know, on Facebook, I put up all the pictures, like when I'm painting it inside the paint booth or putting the interior together.
Mm-hmm. Is it because it's like easier to post it on Facebook? Like you could post multiple shots?
I think it looks too sloppy on Instagram. You know how Instagram has the photos like more organized and stuff like that? That's why you have like photos.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think it looks, for me, it just looks too sloppy having like a picture of a car in the paint booth and, you know, we have tape all over it and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's like the way you have it right now, like your page, it's like more organized and it just looks dope. Like the cars are done, the presentation's there.
Yeah, that's how I see Instagram. Facebook, you know, I'm lost in Facebook. I don't know what the hell's going on Facebook, but I just use Facebook like a picture storage, and I just throw all, like when I'm painting the car, taping it up, everything's on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Or body work and stuff like that.
That's cool. I'm pretty sure you got a following there on Facebook, like everyone taking notes on what you're doing.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm lost in Facebook. Facebook, I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, it's changed. I mean, I have Facebook, but I don't really post on my personal page. I guess I post more because I have it linked to our moderator onto like my pages.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, I only use Facebook for those pages that I started just so I could like post stuff. But other than that, and that's the thing, I can't, if I get rid of my personal page, then it gets rid of all that other stuff. So it's kind of like, damn, but I'm kind of the same. It's kind of, I'm not, I go on there, but not like too much. Cause I just don't, I don't know. I think I'm more on Instagram or on Twitter more.
Yeah, me, I got stuck to Instagram. I liked it. You know, it just pictures, it's more like organized, you know, mm-hmm. You go to someone's profile and you can just see all the pictures. You don't see like the timeline or someone, hey, congratulations, happy birthday, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's a lot different.
You see me, my model car page, I only follow people who build model cars. I really don't care about the personal, you know. I'm here for the model cars. That's all I'm here for. Mm-hmm. That's why Facebook is kind of weird, you know?
Nah, yeah, it is. I always like those photos you do when you cut out you print out those the models and you put them next to your cars and you take photo. Dude, that thing looks so real as well.
Yeah, I like, you know, I like to mess around sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, change things up.
That's tight. What are your primary like influences for your cars?
Like how?
Let's say like painters. Do you have any like famous like lowrider painters or just people that build cars that you get influenced by?
So I think I follow like three painters. Let me see. I think it's Arturo and I forget for two painters. But I know one is Arturo. He gets done with his work.
Out in Bakersfield?
Yeah, and Candy and Chrome.
Oh, nice. That was dope, too.
Yeah, Candy and Chrome, I asked them if I could copy one of his designs, and that's the red Cadillac that I made.
Okay.
And he said, yeah, go ahead. And but I just wanted to... It was easy to do his designs, you know, just copy. It's basically just copy him. Mm-hmm. But I kind of felt like I was cheating. That's why I just did that one, and I didn't want to do another one.
Yeah, but now, I mean, you gotta start somewhere, you know, or, you know, just to try it out to see how you feel. And then from there, you know, like, that's when, you know, all right, cool. Like, I got a feel for it. Now let me do my own thing from there.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did. I asked him, hey, is it cool if I use one of your designs? He said, yeah, go ahead. And I did it, and it was, you know, just basically copy and paste.
Yeah.
And it came out good, just like his shit. Well, not exactly like his, but,
you know. Pretty similar.
Yeah, pretty similar. And
that's cool.
It looks good, and I could do that all day long, but the thing is, for me to... you know, make my own creations, not copy from.
Yeah. Have you ever met him in person?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, haven't met him either. I want to meet him at some point because I do remember back then getting a kick out of watching his videos. He would have these short, like fast-paced clip ones on YouTube where he's doing like a paint job. It looks like in his garage or something. And then later those videos he did with 3M where he's painting like, I don't know if it's a helmet or some shape like thing. And he's just like, just seeing the process of him laying like the silver and like flake and candy and the clear and all that. It just like, it gave me more of an idea of like the steps of painting back then.
Oh, okay.
So that was always like, pretty cool to see him do all that stuff and then just seeing his work, it looks pretty dope.
I think he had a thing going on. He has like a page where you pay and you go watch different things like how to mix candies and stuff like that. But it's kind of hard for me because, you know, I don't have the time to sit down and watch videos, you know.
Yeah.
Normally when I'm here, I'm, you know, I get home and I'm eat, shower, and I'm, you know, trying to work on something. Mm-hmm. So I just I looked at them and stuff like that, but I was like, nah, what? And I don't have time for this.
Yeah. Nah, dude, cause you've been putting in a lot of work. Like, you do get a lot of stuff done. I mean, I'm guilty of watching videos, reading stuff, and then whatever time I have to work on my model, it's limited, and then I don't finish the car, you know, and it's like, oh, I'll finish it later, and then it just takes longer. It takes longer to do, but, I think if I just was like, all right, let me put in the work, I would get more stuff done. So I totally, totally understand.
Right, yeah, yeah. I guess I tried too easy. So when I say, hey, you know, I'm gonna build a model car, I just stick to it. You know, I'm just dedicated to building, and that's all I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I come and paint another thing, and just back and forth.
Yeah. Is there model cars that you're still looking for, or do you feel like you've gotten like a good amount of car kits that you're like, or promos that you're like, I'm good for now.
Yeah, I got everything now. You know, I got like one of each. If anything, I have like maybe two or three of a certain type of car, you know, a rare car like the Cadillacs and stuff like that. But, you know, since 2016, I just started buying one of each, and I got a bunch in the closet.
Mm-hmm. That's tight. I remember because I live with my lady now, and when I moved over here, I didn't bring that many cars first. Like, I was bringing all my equipment and everything. And then little by little, I started sneaking cars in and just putting them in the closet. And she used to see like one box or two on the table. And I think she thought like, oh, that's cute. You know, there's only two there. And then one day she was looking for something and she goes in the closet and she opens it and then boom, she sees like, I think I had like 20 kids up top, like just chilling. And she was like, damn, where'd all those come from? You know, when'd you bring those? And I was like, oh, I've been bringing them every day. What are you talking about? You just don't see me. And I was like, but that's nothing, though. There's still a lot more, but I just haven't brought them. They're at my parents' house. And she was all tripping out. It was so funny, though.
Yeah.
Like, damn. But, yeah, like, there was a time, man, I was going in, you know, when you start going to like Michael's, Hobby Lobby, the hobby stores, and then the auto car shows, it starts to stack up right there.
Yeah. You see, I have a lot. Well, I say I have a lot, but it's like one of each, but I don't have a whole, it's maybe like 150 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I plan on building one of each. Like, I just want to have one of each. And I mean, there's still plenty of other cars I want to build, but I think I have enough for now.
Yeah. Nah, yeah, you should be good right there. Even if you only had like 50 models, that's a lot of cars, you know?
Yeah.
And it just starts to go up, but it's always neat to get stuff. Did you end up picking anything up at NNL West when you were out there?
Yeah, I wasn't supposed to buy anything, and I came, you know, I went in my pickup truck, and I didn't even have a bed cover. The good thing that my friend his model car page is Lowrider Skills. He went out there just to take pictures, and I told him, hey, do me a favor and take these. You know, I bought them, but I was gonna stay over there in San Francisco for the weekend. I said, well, I can't drive around with them in the back.
Yeah, I know. Imagine you leave them back, someone just take them.
Yeah.
Or they fly out. You gotta tie them down.
Yeah, and you know, I didn't even have, I had a thing to tie the box of my model cars down, but that was it.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, I don't know why I bought so many kits.
That's tight, dude. Yeah, you're, nah, it's because, dude, there was a lot of people selling stuff right there.
A lot of
vendors.
It's like, and then everything's cheap, so it's like, it's kind of hard to say, oh, I don't need it. For $10? Oh yeah, I need that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, $15? Yeah, I'll take that.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah.
I was kind of the same. I was like, I'm not going to buy anything, you know. I was being super hesitant. Like, I was looking, but I was like, nah, I'm not going to buy nothing. I'm cool right now. And then little by little, I started, like, cracking, and I started buying stuff. And but there was one guy who was selling resin bodies, and I'm pretty sure, dude, I could have probably bought them all, like got a deal or something, because I was asking him questions, and he was kind of like, you know, like if I, like I could tell he wanted to make me like some type of deal for all of them, but I just kind of slept on it. I ended up buying something else, and then I was like, oh, let me go back to him again. Let me go chop it up with them. But then he was gone, and I was like, damn, I missed him. So we'll see what's up. I'm hoping that maybe he'll be back, hopefully, if he didn't get rid of those resin bodies. But we'll see.
To me, resin, you know, with that big body Cadillac that I bought, I don't think I'll build resin for like a long time.
Yeah.
I just don't like the way it warps and stuff mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah, it's really like tricky, because back then I worked on a resin body, and I mean, I wore a mask and everything, but I made a mess in the yard because I was using a Dremel to cut an area, and it just has like a weird smell and all this stuff, right? Like I just wasn't liking it, and I was telling myself, I'll never build another resin again. Like this is it. Like I just don't like this. But then the more that I started looking for certain models, I started to notice that those models were all those were all resins, like the Jimmy Flintstone cars. And I was like, damn, they're all resin. So I was super hesitant. And then somebody on eBay was selling like Impala wagons that were resin. So then that's what made me like buy those cars. Like I was like, fuck it. Like they're resins, you know, why not? I've always wanted to have a 62 Impala wagon. So I bought it, and I have them, and it's like, even, I have other friends too that tell me like, oh, I hate resins. I don't like messing with those, with the resins. I'm like in the middle. Like I do like them, but then I don't like them.
Yeah. Well, to me right now, my main focus is on paint. Cause that's, since I started, that's been one of my biggest focus on paint. Now, once I get to where my paint looks decent, then I've been messing with detailing the motor a little bit more, the interior and stuff like that. And then eventually I'm gonna start getting into cutting doors open, hinging and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. That's the cool thing about this, is like you're doing it in stages and processes. I mean. And the as far as paint, are you doing everything with like House of Color, or are you using like Createx?
The way that I'm now, I'm good with House of Color, cause you know I started with Rust-Oleum the way I was doing it as a kid. Mm-hmm. So the first truck I built was a '66 fleetside Chevy truck. That was the first one I did in 2016. And I used Rust-Oleum paint and clear. And I was like, oh, it looks good. You know, it looks nice. And then I tried to build a 55 Nomad. And I had already painted it with Rust-Oleum paint and clear. And I taped it up to do the trim. Because at that time, I didn't know about foil.
Mm-hmm.
So the way that we used to chrome the trim back in the day was tape the whole car up, and then with the chrome rattle can, you know, just spray it on the trim, and then that's how we got the trim. So that's what I was doing on the Nomad. I taped the whole car up, and I sprayed the gold paint. And when I went to take the tape off, the paint came off.
Oh, man.
So when that happened, I was like, oh, you know, I was like, this Rust-Oleum paint is a piece of shit, you know, I got to look for something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So the next step was duplicate color, you know, it's what you get at AutoZone. So, you know, I was, the paint, the colors are nice, but then I started using duplicate color clear and, you know, it looks nice and shiny at the beginning. But then it kind of like fades off and stuff like that. You got to keep waxing it. So I said, no, you know what? I don't want to go through this trouble. I want something that's more glossier.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I started getting into automotive clear. So the clear I started using was Matrix. I believe it was like a Matrix MS-21, 4-to-1 parts. And, you know, it was pretty good, glossy and stuff, but I just wanted more. So then that's when I stepped it up to Matrix, but the AG40, which is like a gloss, like a glass finish.
Oh, nice.
And that's what I've been using. And then I kind of, for like the lowriders, I wanted a more flaky color and like a more like show paint style. So then that's when I jumped up to House of Color.
Yeah. Dope. Did you get like the House of Color at like Coast Airbrush, or were you just ordering like online?
No, Coast Airbrush is the best place for me. Online is kind of weird and it's more expensive.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah. And you get the like smaller quantities.
Yeah, I get smaller quantities because I don't want to use the same colors for everything. So little by little, and then if I waste the little 4 ounce, then I just go back and get different colors.
Yeah, damn, that's tight. Do you use that the try it out the show clear, the House of Color show clear?
No, I haven't tried it. I've talked to like, cause I go to this little auto body supply store,
mm-hmm.
and I was asking the guy, and the guy goes like, to be honest, if you could spend, you know, how much money you want on this House of Color, but the clear that you're using right now, it's like the best that you're gonna get.
Mm-hmm. And that's the, you said it was AG40?
Yeah.
The clear. Is that like a 2-part clear or a 3-part clear?
It's a 2-part.
Nice. Yeah, I never heard of that one before. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, I don't buff my cars. I'm not, you know, I've only buffed one car, and that was my brother's, because it was like a day before Cadillac Fest, and the clear kind of reacted. I think I put it in the glass case that we have.
Mm.
I didn't let it air dry, and I just, because it was like late at night, it was like 12, and I had to be back at work at 6, so I just cleared it real quick. Stuck it in the glass case and, you know, shut down the shop. And then the next day when I came back, I seen that it had like wrinkles. So I'm guessing that the clear didn't air dry, you know, it was just like,
yeah.
So I didn't have time to wet sand it and re-clear it. So I just said, well, you know, let's see what happens. Let's just wet sand it and buff it.
Mm-hmm.
I buffed it with a car buffer, not a little Dremel.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. And it worked.
Yeah.
That's I didn't cool. break it.
Yeah, you didn't burn through it or break it or broke it.
Yeah.
That's really I wish I could have seen that like on video or something.
That's yeah, I told my brother, hey, I know you want to take your car to Cadillac Fest, but if it breaks, it's not happening.
Right? Yeah, that's cool. Does your brother go with you, like, to all most car model shows or not?
He went to Cadillac Fest 18. He went to Lowballers. Let me see what other show he went to. I think those are the only two he went to.
Oh, okay.
He was supposed to come out here this weekend, but his truck broke down, and he lives out there in San Bernardino. There's like.
Oh, no, man.
By Big Bear.
Yeah,
by
that's,
Big
Bear, that's yeah. far. Yep.
Yeah.
Damn.
So he didn't get to come out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he likes it.
Yeah, that's cool, man. That's what's up right there.
It was the last person. When I started building, you know, I had my friends, my other brother, who were like, oh, yeah, I want to build model cars, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we seen your truck, and, you know, it kind of motivated us to build. And he was like the last person that even cared about model cars. And one day he just said, hey, I want to build something.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool.
Said, well, all right. I didn't take him serious at the time, but he liked it. And he got into it.
Yeah. Damn, that's how I tried getting my younger brother into it, but nah, he's not really like into cars. And I was just trying to get him away from like video games or other stuff, and I was just kind of like wanted him to use more of his hands, you know, to be like hands on with stuff and hopefully just like see something from start from scratch, and then all of a sudden I have like a final like a painted piece of a car. But nah, it didn't happen. So who knows? Maybe in the future. But it's always cool when you have someone that's like into it, you know, that's always like a cool thing right there. Do you ever do like build, like do you ever build with people, like any of your friends come over, or do you go to someone's house like to hang out when you have free time?
Yeah. My friend, I forgot his page. I think it's Westside Scales.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he changed it, but when I had my paint booth, he used to come all the time, like almost every day.
Yeah.
Then I also have Lowrider Scales. I mean, I mention him a lot, but mostly he's more like a truck photographer for like the, you know, the truck scene.
Mm-hmm.
But he has this little Instagram page too. He comes over to paint stuff.
Yeah. Oh, that's tight.
Yeah. Right now they're mad at me because I'm taking too long to finish my paint booth. So.
Oh.
Yeah. I need to hurry up.
Yeah, tell him, hey, come help me.
Come help me. That's how you can come every day and paint.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's tight. No, that's true. Is there any people you want to shout out?
Oh, you know, well, thank you for having me on your podcast. And, you know, shout out to everybody that builds and supports the model community.
Nice. And, nice.
You know, I've seen a lot of people doing 3D printing. I mean, just Iceman, you know, he's doing all kinds of stuff for dioramas. I was like, damn.
Yeah, it's true. It's a lot of stuff. Like now there's a little bit of everything like coming out.
Yeah, because, you know, I would depend on Pegasus for a lot of stuff. And you go, you know, I have to drive 45 minutes out there, and sometimes they don't have much. So it's kind of good that I feel like the hobby, the model car hobby grew. There's more people involved in it. And, like, people are creating new stuff, and they're kind of making it easier for everybody.
Mm-hmm. No, they are, because even, like, for some people in certain states, like, they don't even have, a store or anything. And now they could just order it online, and they're getting it shipped from these guys that are making the stuff.
Yeah. That's... Yeah, I don't have the time to sit down and start casting stuff and, you know, trying to make my own little stuff out of styrene, plastic. You know, I'd rather buy stuff and just paint it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know? So I already talked to Iceman. I told him, hey, you know, once I get my stuff running, I'm gonna get at you and buy some stuff, because all this stuff you're making works for my dioramas.
Yeah.
A little bit more detail.
Damn, that's tight. Yeah, it's a lot of different things. I keep seeing new things. And I'm like, what the heck? Damn, this is tight. Like, it's exciting seeing all that stuff. I just can't wait to see it being, you know, like used on a diorama or in a car.
Yeah.
That's going to be pretty cool seeing that right there. Nah, dude, yeah. Well, thank you for taking the time on being on the episode. It was fun. It was cool chopping it up with you. And I hope I get to see you soon at a show. And if not, most likely, you know, at the NNL West.
Alright, yeah,
well,
I'll be out there. I'm
gonna
try to make it again.
Yeah, hell yeah. And
hopefully I can build something new.
No, heck yeah. And are you ever planning on doing stickers in the future, like Inglewood stickers?
You know, I was gonna do that for what show did I? Oh, Lowballers.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy that I get my stickers done, you know, I wanted to do the, you know how back in the days at the vending machine they had the lowrider stickers and
oh yeah, with the they were like hologram.
Yeah.
Heck
well, that's
yeah.
that's what I was working on, but I don't know what happened. I was cool with the guy. I used to get hats done with him, shirts and stuff like that. They moved from here to Pomona, and I hit him up. Hey, you know, I want to get these stickers done. He said, oh yeah, we can get them done. And then I waited, and I told him, hey, will you guys have the stickers? And he said, oh, you got to wait. We got a lot of people. Oh,
man.
That was good. I've been waiting for, I told him I've been waiting for a month.
Mm-hmm.
I just said, forget it.
Yeah, well, hopefully you find someone that does do those. That would be pretty dope. I would like to have one in the future. Like if you do one of those, like throwback to that time. That'd be pretty sick. Imagine you even have them and you give them, well, like you sell them with like the little cardboard. Remember that little fold out?
Yeah. Well, I wanted to do right. series. Like, you know how I take different pictures? I wanted to do like different series for every show, you know, take mm-hmm. some, you know, whoever gets, and not sell them, but just give them away, you know?
Yeah.
Like whoever gets to keep them. But I've been looking tight. Online. The only place is like China, but you got to buy it by the thousands.
Yeah, you got to get all kinds of them right there.
Yeah, yeah. What am I going to do with 1,000 stickers?
No. Yeah, I'm just imagining. Now, I'm sure you could get rid of them. Like people, there's probably about 1,000 model builders who would want them. It'll take time to push them, but I'm sure.
Yeah.
That's pretty tight. Well, I'm going to... I'm planning on printing up some new stickers as well. I'm due. I haven't done any in a while. So once I get some new ones, I'll send some your way.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I'll hook you up, and then in the future I'll look out for one of your stickers, because I would like to have one with, because I still have like a bunch of stickers of all the model builders, all the artists, like on my supply boxes.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be kind of cool to have one of yours on there as well.
Yeah, I had a guy help me, not design it, but like help me crop out the thing professionally and like mirror out the picture and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was going to use for the design. And I actually, before the takeover, I went to another place, but that the dad wasn't there and he knew how to make the stickers. So I said, I'll just forget it. I'll do it some other time.
Yeah, nah, yeah. The time will come.
It'll
be, it'll be worth it right there. Nice. And so everybody who's listening to the podcast, if you want to check out Inglewood Scale Models, make sure you follow him on Instagram. His Instagram's at Inglewood Scale Models. So that should not be hard to find.
Yeah.
And but thanks, dude, for being part of this episode. This was number 90. And this will be going out this weekend. I'll have this out live.
That's the year I was born.
No way. Nice. Yeah. Hell yeah. Dope. That's tight. I like that. A while back when I did episode 61, I was telling Willie that, cause he was on it with David, and it was like a dedicated magazine episode. And I was telling him like, wait a minute, your guys' email or the emails, it says 61. As well, and I believe that's Willie's birthday as well, so that's tight. Hell yeah, dude. 90. That's what's up.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Well, I'll let you go. That way you could enjoy the rest of your night, rest up, and, you know, continue the routine at work. But we look forward to seeing what you create in the future once you finish up, you know, the booth and everything. Your workspace, and you know, just I want to thank you for everything that you've done for the model community in general, because you've influenced a lot of people, and I mean, just the work that you put in and stuff, it's very influential.
Thank you, and whenever you want, you're welcome, you know, to come out here and.
Thanks, dude. I'm gonna have to. I'm in Simi Valley, so I would just shoot down the 405. And I could be out your way. So I'm visualizing like in the future, it would be dope. I would like to do some video, even like an interview, something, you know, so people can see this stuff on YouTube, on Instagram. That'd be pretty dope.
Yeah, I'll probably be done maybe in a month or two because I still gotta design my whole paint booth. I
Cool.
mean, it's built. I have the room built. It's just like what I told you, the exhaust fans and all that stuff.
Yeah. No, yeah, definitely. Yeah, once the time comes in the future, we'll make that happen.
Alrighty.
Awesome. All right, Edgar. Well, you have a good night and we'll talk soon.
Well, you too, and see you soon.
All right, cool. Later.
All right.